This morning, I want to share with you a message that I'm calling an Esther generation. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to unfold five truths from a great book in the Old Testament, and then I'm going to invite some ladies that are going to join me on the platform, and a special clip that I'm going to show you up on the screen at the end. And I just believe God is something he wants to do through us. So I want you to pull out your Bible and turn with me to an Old Testament book called Esther. It's not a book we look at often. And there's a sermon outline on the back of your bulletin, or you can pull it up on your handheld device. There are two books in the Old Testament named after ladies, the book of Ruth and Esther. Esther was Jewish. Ruth was a Gentile. Esther was an orphan, and she was raised by her uncle, this uncle named Mordecai. And here's the deal. There was a day in Persia, in Susa, there was a king called Xerxes. And I know you got to wrap your tongue around that name, Xerxes, King Xerxes. And King Xerxes had a wife. She was the queen, Queen Vashti. And King Xerxes put on this great big party. And the problem is it became a drunken party. And people were celebrating big time. And he wanted his wife, the queen, to come out and dance before all of the boys. And she said, I'm not doing that. And so she took this moral stand and said, I'm not going to do that. The long of the short is this, that King Xerxes pushed her away as queen, and he started to look for another queen. And so he put on a beauty pageant, and this young, beautiful Jewish orphan girl named Esther rose to the top, and she became the next queen. She hid the fact that she was Jewish, but here she is as the queen. And then there's this guy named Haman. Haman was a wicked man, very vile. In fact, they say that when Jewish people read the book of Esther, anytime they say the name Haman, everyone would hiss, and because they didn't like the name Haman. And he was such a wicked guy that he convinced the king to create an edict to annihilate all of the Jewish people, destroy them, kill them, get rid of them. So one day Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai, spoke into the life of Esther, who's now the queen, and called her and challenged her to go into the presence of the king, because you could change the king's mind. And I want to take you now to Esther chapter 4, verse 14. If you got your Bible, open it up to Esther 4, verse 14. If you didn't bring your Bible this morning, you will see this verse on the screen. And Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai, said to Esther, for if you remain silent at this time. Mordecai is saying to Esther, you can't stay silent. Esther, you can't be quiet. Esther, you can't sit back. If you, Esther, remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. You see, Mordecai was convinced that God wanted to spare the Jewish people. And Mordecai was saying, Esther, if you don't do something, God will use somebody else. Relief and deliverance will come from another place. But then he said, but you and your father's family will perish. You're going to die. Then he said these amazing words, and who knows, but that you, Esther, have come to royal position for such a time as this. Whether you're male or female, whether you're junior high, senior high, married, single, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90s, somewhere between junior high and 90, I want to say to you that God is walking and looking for a Esther generation. And he's walking around the world and he's looking into this church today. And I believe he's calling us to rise up and be like Esther was. And I believe God wants to challenge us with these words from Esther 4, verse 14. And I want this morning to give you five practical thoughts. They're not profound. It won't take me long. But I believe the Spirit of God wants to challenge us with these thoughts. Number one, write this in your notes, that an Esther generation understands the difference between Kronos time and Kairos time. I want you to write those two Greek words in your notes, Kronos and Kairos. There's actually two words in the ancient Greek language for time, only two words, Kronos and Kairos. Kronos and Kairos are two different Greek words, and they're used differently. And Kronos time speaks of the quantity of time, the chronology of time. We get the word chronology from chronos. It speaks of the passing of time. We've been going through my office files and cleaning them up, and we found a couple of older pictures from years gone by of Evelyn and Mark, myself and my dear wife, from many years gone by. The amazing thing is she looks the same. I don't know how that happens. And I look just a little bit older. I had more hair, and I was pretty cool back in those days. I know some of you are like, really? You were? Yeah. And I was, you know, I was dressed. Here I am, and, you know, but the years go by, and now you look in the mirror, and you go, man, I'm looking a little older. Time seems to change. The chronos time is the passing of time. It's the quantity of time. It's the years, the days, the months they go by. But kairos is a different Greek word. Where chronos speaks of the quantity of time, kairos speaks of the quality of time, or the significance of time, or the opportunity of time. It's time becoming marked with significance, time being marked by opportunity, time being marked by a God moment. The Bible says, when the time had come, or the right time had come, God sent forth his son, Galatians 4, verse 4. The Bible talks about appointed seasons. The Bible talks about the kairos time. And here's what I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants me to say to the house today, that God is calling you and me to be a kairos people living in a chronos world. That we would be people that would not let the days pass, the moments pass, the opportunities pass, the week pass, the year pass, the season pass. But we would live life marked by God moments, God opportunities, and God seasons. Evelyn and I were so honored, I mean honored, to be at our general conference this past week of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We gathered with 1,200 people in beautiful Victoria, BC, and what a refreshing presence of the Lord that was there. I got on the plane and I started to read. In fact, there was three books that I started to read, and you know, I'm reading them there and I'm reading them home, and I'm just delving into these books and getting into them and just loving on these books. And one of these books is called Miracle Invasion. And it records some miraculous moments and miraculous stories of what God is doing in Canada and in North America. But it shares one particular story that gripped my heart of a man who was in his car one day, and he's driving down the expressway, and he felt the Spirit of the Lord say to them, get off the expressway here. And he's like, well, but God, I'm not going there, but if that's what you want, I'm in. And he goes off the expressway, and he felt the Lord say, now turn left. Okay, God, I'm going to turn left. God said to him, turn right. He turned right. And he got to a trailer park, and the Lord said, stop here in front of this trailer. And I want you to go to the door, and I want you to give the person there all that you have in your pocket. And he reached into his pocket, and he had like $2.57. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a lot of money, and he's a little awkward, and he gets to the door, and he knocks, and he goes, hi, my name is. He says, I'm a little awkward doing this, but I felt God called me to come to your door and give you all the money I have. It's not a lot, but here's $2.57. And all of a sudden, the man started to weep, and tears came down his eyes. You see, you don't know me. You don't know what this is doing for me. He said, I've lost my job. I feel like a failure. I'm married. I just put my little baby to bed, and I'm not working. I can't even afford to go out and buy milk for my baby, and I feel like a failure and a loser. And you come to my door with enough money for me to go to the local store and buy a little milk for my baby. Thank you for being obedient. Come on, how many people know that's a kairos moment? A number of years later, he reconnected with that same couple. This man now had gone to Bible college. He now became the general secretary of the Four Square churches in the United States of America. I want to say to the house today that God is calling us to live by kairos time, not chronos time. Do not let time pass, but seize the moment and seize the opportunity. I want to share something with you today about a man in our church named Rod Mumba, and his dear wife, Diane. They are faithful attenders of this church. One day they came to the leadership with the dream to reach the people from their country in Africa. And they began to share with us that they have roots from Burundi and Rwanda. And they began to feel a heart for the people of Burundi and Rwanda. And before long, they've booked our church. And yesterday, I'm here to tell you that this man and this wife extended an invitation to people in Ottawa from Burundi and Rwanda. 1,800 people from our city packed into this auditorium yesterday. Don't clap yet. 300 people gave their heart to Jesus Christ in this auditorium yesterday. Spoken in the language from their country, I'm here to say to you that my brother in the Lord, Rod, doesn't want to live his life by Kronos time. He doesn't want to just show up to church. He doesn't want to just live his life. He wants his life to be marked by Kairos moments. I'm here to say to you, church, let's be a Kairos people living in a Kronos world. And let's rise up with the anointing of Esther. Somebody say amen. The second thing I want to share with you, that we must understand that time is marked by God moments, and time is marked by God seasons. There were several other books that I started to read on the plane, and one of them was a book called The Azusa Street Mission and Revival. It's a big book. It was only a four-hour flight. I didn't read the whole book, but I started to look through it, and I got moved as I reread about this black African preacher who was raised in slavery. His mama was a slave. His daddy was a slave in 1906. And they stepped out of slavery, and God put a call on his life. And he goes to Los Angeles, and he starts a prayer meeting in someone's house. And so many people showed up that the balcony broke. And they go to an old depleted warehouse on Azusa Street, 312 Azusa Street, and fire broke out, and the building was in a mess, and they fixed it up to the best of their abilities. And one floor was for people to have the horses in, and the other floor was to have the services. And they had a morning service, an afternoon service, and an evening service. But here's what went down. God showed up. What started as a God moment became a God season. A service that started in the morning kept going till the afternoon, kept going till the evening, kept going all night. Get ready for this. For three solid years, there was a perpetual service running in Azusa Street. You got to understand that the racial tension was huge. But black and white and Spanish came in. Male and female came in. The rich came in. The poor came in. People were healed. And canes were set along the side because people walked in crippled, but they walked out healed by the power of Jesus Christ. People walked in as a sinner, but they walked out saved by the power of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit moved for a three-year season. I'm just saying, oh God, give us a season of revival. Open the windows of heaven over this place. Then I started to read a book that's been put out by the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Our church, Woodville, is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, about 1,200 churches across the nation of Canada, 1,200 of us gathered in Victoria, British Columbia. Our movement began in 1919. We'll be celebrating our 100th year in 2019. But I started to read some of the stories that were written by friends and colleagues of mine, and I got so moved. Then as we sat in the conference and we saw Brother Bob Taitinger in his 90s sitting on the platform, Brother Gordon Upton in his 90s sitting on the platform and sharing about what God did in the years gone by. But then our morning speaker on Friday got up and said this statement. He said, if you want to honor the past, you got to prioritize the future. And I'm here to say to you today that we're not going to glamorize the past. We are grateful for the past, and we reflect on the goodness of God. But I'm here to declare to you that the best days and the years are yet to come for the nation of Canada and for this church. And I say, oh God, send a fresh revival. Amen. You see, the kind of God that I serve is an unpredictable God. Some of you are shocked by that statement. I know he never changes, but sometimes we put the predictableness of God into our theology. But I love when the unpredictableness shows up and the wind of the Spirit begins to blow and God does some things that weren't printed in the bulletin. Somebody say amen. How many people want the windows of heaven to open and God to pour out his Spirit? Come on, are you with me today? Somebody say amen. Third thing I want to say to you, and I want you to get this in your spirit, we must understand that God always places the right person in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. I want to declare to you today that God makes no mistakes. He does not own an eraser. He doesn't look at you and say, whoops. He doesn't use whiteout. I'm here to declare to you that he puts the right person in the right place at the right time for the right purpose. And God has put you where you're at, wants to use you in a mighty way because he's looking to raise up an Esther generation. And so Esther could have remained silent. She could have not spoken up, but Mordecai spoke into her life and said, who knows, but you've come to a royal position for such a time as this. And I want to speak over the house today. You're the right person in the right place at the right time. For the right purpose, amen. The fourth thing that I want to speak into your hearts today, understand, please, that God has a reason for your season. Some of you are in a dark season, a difficult season, a season that you want to get out of. But I'm here to say to you that everything that happens on earth must go through heaven's filter. I'm here to declare to you today, and I believe that you believe this, what the devil has meant for your destruction, God can turn it around and bring glory to his name. There is a reason for your season. The devil is not seated on a throne. God is seated on the throne. Amen. I said, the devil is not seated on a throne. God is seated on a throne. There is a reason for your season. And then there's number five. And somebody needs to hear this fifth truth. We must understand that your now season is preparing you for your next season. God will use your now season and he will prepare you for your next season. So I want those truths to sink into your heart, and I will package this message together in a few moments, but I want to invite to the platform three of the six ladies of my life to come up and join me on the platform. My wife, Evelyn, and my two daughters, Jennifer and Jessica. So I said we have six girls in our life. Well, first of all, this is my lovely wife, Evelyn. And Evelyn and I met at Bible College. Evelyn's a graduate of what is now called Master's College and Seminary. In our days, it was called Eastern Pentecostal Bible College. And EPBC, some of my buddies nicknamed EPBC, Easy Pickin' Bridal College. All right. And she chased me for years. It was awful. Truth is, I chased her. Let me give you the truth. Evelyn graduated in 1983. I graduated in 1985. She went on to work at a group home for unwed mothers called Bethel Home in Scarborough. And we got married in 1986. And God blessed us with three children. Our oldest is Jonathan. And Jonathan's lovely wife, this is girl number four of our lives, is Kayla. And Jonathan and Kayla have been married for a number of years. They have two beautiful daughters. And Nora Lane is 3.5 years old. And Elsie is 1.5 years. And I tell you, friends, I'm being honest. If I knew how great grandchildren were, we honestly would have grandkids first, just saying. And here's what you may not know. John and Kayla are expecting number three. Come on, isn't that cool? And number three is coming sometime in September, October area. Jennifer was born in Montreal. And I tell you, if you're going to have kids, move to Quebec to have kids. They pay you to have children. And we were only there for 4 years. But I think, girl, you made us a couple $1,000. And I thank you for that today. And then we just took the money and ran. Jennifer went to university here in our city, and she graduated from Carleton University with her degree. And then she went on to Ottawa University to get her teacher's degree. And then the Spirit of the Lord spoke to her heart, and she went off to our Bible college and did that degree in 2 years. She holds 3 degrees. She's here now in our city, back home, and supply teaching. Love you from the bottom of my heart. This is Jennifer. Yeah. Now, when we moved here, you were 9. Jessica, you were just 5 years old. When did she grow up? And Jessica went to Carleton University for 1 year, planning on stepping into social work. God began to speak to her heart, and then she felt God calling her to master's college and seminary. And she went there, and just several Saturdays ago, she graduated from master's college and seminary. Come on, isn't that awesome? And she would never say this, and it's, and I am bragging, so forgive me. She was the graduation speaker, and I cried through everything that she said. It was amazing, amazing. They proofed her script. They said, you write your script, but we will proof it. We want to know everything that you said. But they said to her, you've got one line that you can say that it's yours. And Jessica, you said to me, Dad, you're going to love it. I'm not going to tell you. She didn't even tell me her script. Here is the one line. She's standing up there, and she's asking her class questions. And then she asked her class, how many of you are still mourning the loss of the Toronto Maple Leafs? And she turned around, and all of her class put up their hand. And then she looked straight ahead. I love you for this. And she said, I'm not. How many people know I've raised her well? Amen. Jessica, I want you to take the microphone, and you're in a unique season right now where you have graduated from Bible college, trying to navigate your next steps and discern, because there's people that are in a now season in the house wondering what the next season is. What would you say to encourage people today?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I just graduated a couple weeks ago. So in the past couple weeks and beyond that, I guess I would say, I've just been trying to navigate, okay, well, what's next? And when you don't totally have clarity of what that looks like, trying to trust God in that, what do you do? How do you like spend that time? How do I be faithful in this time? And something that I've been holding on to is just the fact that I need to evaluate what God has entrusted me with and what he's put in my hands. So that means like the people he's placed in front of me, the things he's placed in front of me, and how can I be faithful in that right now in this very moment, even though I don't know what's coming next. So yeah, that's just kind of something I've been holding on to and navigating is, okay, God, so how do I be a good steward of everything you've put in front of me, even if I may not have clarity of what tomorrow looks like? And then I guess I would say 3 things that I've really had to hold on to, and I would encourage you to as well, if you're in a season of just trying to navigate what's next going forward and trying to be faithful where you are. The first thing is just to remind ourselves that we're called, that God has called us for a purpose, and God has called us to do work for his kingdom. So to remind ourselves of that, whether we're discouraged or encouraged, whatever season we're in. And then the second thing is that God is faithful. And we say that a lot, but he's really faithful, and he has the best track record. So if he hasn't let us down yet, he's definitely not going to do that going forward. So to remind ourselves that God is faithful. And then the third thing is just I keep reminding myself that I live for an audience of one. And even though I may not know what's coming next, he does. And so even if I can't lean into my own strength, I can lean into his, knowing that he's got it and he'll take care of that.
Amen. Jessica, as your father, I'm so proud of you. And I know that as you're discerning what God has next, you're not looking for big and best. You're looking for what God has for you. And as your father, I say to you, the Lord is already in your tomorrow, and he will lead you and direct you. And something that I learned this week, which I'm proud of you, and I believe that's something to encourage people, that when you're in that wait season, don't stop. I mean, she fires off an email to one of her teachers from her high school, and she said, I'm home. What can I do? I want to come into my high school and serve and help. And I honor you for that, Jessica, and I believe the Lord is smiling upon you. And I know that God is already in your tomorrow, and he's going to lead you, and he's going to direct you. Amen. I want you to give the mic to your beautiful sister, Jennifer. And Jennifer, you're in a season of supply teaching in the school system. And I think that's amazing because wherever God places you, you're meant to be the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you're the light of Jesus Christ there. But you're kind of in a pattern. Is that my tomorrow? Is that my future? And just give some encouragement because some people are in a season now where it's like, am I going to stay in this season or what's next? What would you say to your church family today?
There's a scripture that I've held on to actually over the past number of years. And specifically the one that said, not my will, but yours be done, one that Jesus himself had said. And it's been something that even when I was away at school, I used to have it on chalkboard in my room. So one of the first things I would see when I woke up was, yet not my will, but yours be done. And if you've heard a bit of my story or heard me speak before, I often go back to the passage in Joshua, with Joshua and the Israelites, when they're going in to have deliverance over Jericho. And the Lord actually says to Joshua before they even go into that, and he says, I have delivered you. And then he lists a number of things that they're supposed to do as they walk in, and they walk those walls for a number of days, and the Lord gives them these specific instructions. And to be honest, that probably was kind of crazy to hear that and to hear the specific path they were supposed to do to get that promise, to get that deliverance. But had Joshua and the Israelites not stayed the path and had not been obedient to the specific instructions that they were given, they would not have walked into their deliverance. They would have not have seen the faithfulness of God. They would not have seen and learned true perseverance through the process. And I think that's such a big thing that so often we go forward and we think, okay, we're going to do this, but we're not willing to stay the process and see that the process leads to the promise. And so I think a question for me over the time has been, am I so wanting God's plan and his purposes and his will for my life that I'm willing to stay the path despite the struggle? That I'm willing to stay the path despite, the challenges? Am I willing to stay the path and be obedient no matter how crazy it may seem to the people around me? Am I willing to stay that path despite it all because I want his will and I want his plans and I want his purposes? Whether that's that job that looks good, but God says that's not the great one. Whether that's, a decision in finances where God's wanting you to do something and yet you're not willing to do it, but he's saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. Are you going to step in that obedience because I know that this is the path I'm taking you on? And so a big encouragement that's been for me and that I would encourage you is to stay the path of obedience, because in order to get to your promise, you got to walk through the process. And sometimes we just put the process aside and think it's just that one thing, but there's so much truth and so much to be learned through the process. And you got to live as, like, as we talked about with Esther, saying this is the season that I'm in now, and stop waiting for that arrival point. But you have arrived in your today, and God has a plan and has a purpose and has a reason for the season that you're in right now. And so it would be staying the path of where you are in your today.
Preach it, sister. Jennifer, as your father, I love you. And God has a great plan for your life. And just keep being faithful in the now, because the now is preparing you for the next. Amen. Why don't you give the mic back to Jessica? And Jessica, there's several passions in your heart, and just tell us quickly about it. And you go for it.
Yeah, so just one of the things that I'm passionate about is pouring into young girls. And so one of the opportunities that I've had to be involved in, that I've had the opportunity to be involved in since I was in high school, is an organization called Tattered Tiaras. And it's all about instilling confidence in young girls and helping them recognize that they have value and they have purpose. And then to tag along to that is, Pastor Kim mentioned it earlier, but there's an event going on that's run by the Intensity Leadership Team that Jen and I are both able to work with. It's called Radiate, and so it's for girls grade 8 to 12 and their moms. And the whole event is just surrounded by pouring into young girls and helping them recognize their confidence in God and to recognize that exactly this, that they are here, they are where they are for such a time as this.
Jessica, God puts passions in her heart for a reason, and he's going to keep on using you in that passion that he has placed in you. Honey, I'd love if you'd pray specifically for the senior high girls, the junior high girls, and there's a lot of wow children girls with Pastor Shelley and Pastor Kimberly right now, and take a moment and pray for senior high, junior high, and the wow children girls, if you would do that.
God, I thank you so much that no time is wasted when you're in control, Lord. I thank you that you put us exactly where you want us to be because you have a plan even when we can't see it all, God. And I just lift up all the young girls in this house right now, God, those who are in this room, those who are represented by families in this room, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would move in every single one of their hearts, oh God, that they would know who you are and who you say that they are, God. God, that they would be able to rise and just soak up the season that they're in and be confident and be willing to pray bold prayers knowing the God that they serve, Lord Jesus. God, I just pray that you would raise up a generation of women that are so grounded in you and know how faithful and good their Father is in every single season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jennifer, we'd be honored today if you would pray for all of the young adult girls. Would you go and do that right now?
God, I thank you so much for a generation of young women, Father, whether they are single, dating, married, Father, whether they're in school, whether they're in a career, or maybe they're in that in-between season, Father, of seeing whether that's school, career, what it may be, Father. I just pray over this generation of young women, Father, that they would never stop being so hungry for what you have for them, God, that they would never stop seeking after your will, God, for your plans, for your purposes, Father, that they would not settle for anything less but what you have for them, God. God, I pray for a generation that's so courageous, God, that they're willing to take the step of obedience, Father, that maybe even right now you're stirring in their hearts, that they would be willing to step out and say, God, I am fully yours, and it's not my will, but yours be done. So, God, I pray for a generation who is willing to stay the path, God, a generation who is so hungry for you. And I just pray such a blessing on them today, God. I pray such a blessing right now in their today, whatever they're facing, Father, that you would just refresh them, that you would remind them of who they are, that they are grounded in you, Father God, and they can turn to you, God. So I just thank you so much for this generation of young women. And I just pray such a great and amazing blessing on them today. In your name, amen.
Amen. Now for the matriarch of the family. I started ministry on Mother's Day, 1985. Amazing, just to think back, 33 years ago on Mother's Day, I began ministry. We were married May 3rd, 1986. But it was 3 years ago on Mother's Day, you might recall that we shared some very difficult news with our church family. And the backdrop story is many years ago, Evelyn was diagnosed with cancer, and the kids were young. And I remember one of you girls coming to me and asking me if mommy would die. And that was a very difficult question to answer. And I remember just sharing with the church family, and people prayed. God did a miracle. The doctor said that there was cancer in her body, and the cancer had spread. And so we prayed. They anointed her with oil. The doctors opened her up again to remove the more, but they couldn't find the more. Jesus did a miracle. Hallelujah. And she walked the road of chemo and radiation. And 3 years ago, that same cancer returned. And you as a church faithfully walked through with us. And she's a picture of health today. All the doctor's reports are saying is there's no cancer in your body now. And we give God the glory and the honor. But honey, there's people here today, they're trying to discern the reason for their season, and it's tough. And they're in a difficult season. What would you say to them from your experience?
My experience is to trust God no matter what. We know that he loves us no matter what we go through, no matter what season of life we walk through. He is faithful. You cling to him. You cling to what you know about God, about his word, what he tells us, to keep trusting in him with all of our hearts. We don't understand things, but we can trust him, and he will direct our paths. And he promised that even when we walk through the valley, he'll be with us. He'll guide us through it. And we just cling to his faithfulness. You look back in your life to see how he's been faithful, not to dwell on it, but to see his faithfulness. And you know he's in your today. He's in your tomorrow. He goes before you. He makes those crooked places straight. And he gives you the strength and victory in the valley. And even in the times, the days that you don't feel like maybe you're not feeling strong enough to even pray sometimes. Others are praying for you, but above that, you know Jesus is interceding for you, and you've already got the victory because you're a child of the living God, and you can trust him. And it's in those times that you realize we are weak, but he is strong, and we can have victory through him, and because he's the faithful God, we trust him.
Amen. 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 17 and a half years here, and we've got some people in our church family that are like a spiritual father, and I have some spiritual fathers in this place and spiritual mothers, and some of the spiritual mothers come in and say, "Now, Pastor, you take good care of yourself, you make sure you eat right and sleep right, and you put on a jacket, you know," and that's how they speak to me. But more than anything, they say to me, they're praying for me. And there's several ladies in this church that I will drop by and ask them to pray over me. And some of them I go every week to their home and say, "I need you to pray over your pastor." There's one lady in our church, she is turning 98 in a couple of weeks. Come on, 98. Margaret Tian is in a senior's residence, and she understands an Esther generation. That lady is so active. Sometimes I go in to see her, and she's not in her room. She's downstairs in her exercise class. And she is starting an alpha in her senior's residence. She said, "Pastor, God is keeping me alive so that I can start this alpha. I want to be a light for Jesus Christ in this residence." Come on, how many people know that lady gets it? So I wanted her to be here this morning, and it didn't work out. And I went to her residence. Now, I'd have freaked her out if I brought the big cameras and the lights and we did the professional thing. I literally pulled out my cell phone, and I said, "Sister Margaret, would you pray for your church family? And are you okay if I record it on my phone? Because I want you to pray that God would do something in Woodvale." And so Sister Margaret Tian, 98 years old, in a couple of weeks, watch the screen. She's praying for us.
Father, we thank you for Woodvale Church. We thank you for that congregation. So many different people from different backgrounds. A place for everyone. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you would move mightily among the people. I pray that everyone that comes in there would feel comfort, would feel your presence, would meet people with their own nationality and language, that they'll have comfort in knowing they're in the right place. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon that place, upon the pastors, the people in leadership, the people teaching the different classes. Make it what you want it to be. And Father, an outreach to the city of Ottawa, where people will go to find fellowship, people from the same background and languages. They'll feel at home there. In the name of Jesus, I pray, make it what you want it to be. Father, we thank you from our hearts for your goodness, your mercy, your love, your protection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, moving in power. And I pray, Father, that as the word goes forth, you'll confirm it again, as you did in the early church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow there. Healings, miracles, deliverance. In the name of Jesus. A real wake-up, Lord, a spiritual awakening. We thank you. Praise and honor you, Lord. We pray the protection of the holy, redeeming blood of Jesus over that church, over the congregation. Every person comes in there will leave stronger in faith than when they came. They will see the confirmation of your word as it goes forth, Lord. Healings, miracles, deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Praise. Honor you. Make it what you want it to be.
just a moment, Evelyn's going to come and pray, but I'm asking that every head would be bowed, everyone's eyes would be closed. Before we transition into some final moments in our service, I have a question that I want to ask everyone in this place, on the main level, in the risers, in the balcony, you're watching on live streaming, and it's this. If today was the day that you stepped into eternity, I'm asking you this morning, are you positive beyond any shadow of doubt that you will spend eternity in heaven? I'm asking you today, do you know that you know that you know that you're ready for heaven? Was there a time, a place, a moment that you personally asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? I want to declare in this place today that God loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So from youngest to eldest in this place, if you can't answer that question with a definite yes, but you want to be ready for heaven, I want to declare to you that Jesus himself said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I want to lead you in a prayer, and I want to invite the church to join those that are receiving Jesus right now. We're going to join you as you pray. So would you pray together with me today? Dear Jesus, I ask you into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. I have decided to follow Jesus. Today, I make my peace with you. I receive you in my life. I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, it's party time. Somebody celebrate salvation. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you made the best decision of your life. If you don't attend a Bible-believing, life-giving church, how many at Woodville would be honored if they joined us in the journey? Amen? I'd be pumped. And on your way out, a few moments, drop by the follow wall in the main lobby. There's some friendly people there. We want to bless you with a Bible. It's free. And a little booklet. It's free. And if you're our guest this morning, thank you for coming. We literally have many guests every Sunday, and we hope you felt at home. We hope you come back, drop by our guest lounge to the right in the lobby. We want to give you a coffee cart, no strings attached, for a local coffee shop, McDonald's, Starbucks, Tim Hortons. And your green card, every green card that's filled out, they're in the pew rack in front of you on your behalf. We're going to make a donation to the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. Here's what we're going to do. I want every lady in the place, whether you're junior high, senior high, single, married, 40, 50, 90, 12, every female, would you stand up? Come on, every lady in the place, stand up. Come on up here, honey. Every lady. Now, guys, put your hands together and honor these ladies. But you know, I'm reading this book, as I said, about the 100 years of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And in the early days, many of our churches were started by ladies with the call of God on their life. And I don't know what season you're in, but God wants to use you. And there's some, Evelyn, there's some ladies today, they're the young mom stage. Remember those days when the kids were young and you were a stay-home mom in those days by our choosing, your choosing. And people would come to me and say, does your wife work? And I go, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. What does she do? And I'd say, she runs a very small but successful family business. And they'd say to me, what's your business called? What's your business called? I said, JJJ. What's JJJ? Jonathan, Jennifer, Jessica. And for some of you, you're in that season of young parenting. It's tiring. We honor you. We stand with you. Keep putting Christ first. Some of you, you're in a season of retirement. And I just feel the Lord wants me to say, keep being a kingdom advancer. And Evelyn, you're going to pray in just a moment. But the story of Esther is this, that she took the words of Mordecai, who said, who knows? Maybe you're here for such a time as this. And she went into the king's presence, and she was nervous because the king had to put the scepter towards her, and the king did, and king changed his mind, and the Jews were spared because one lady listened to the call of God. And whether you're male or female, but ladies are standing right now, I want to say to you, God has put you in the right place at the right time. You're the right person for the right season. And your now season is preparing you for your next season, and God's hand is upon you. But honey, call it down right now. Let's just pray that the windows of heaven would open. And I just want my dear wife, before we go, just to pray the blessing of God over every lady in the house today.
Father, we're just so thankful that we can come together today to celebrate you. We thank you, God, that we can come together and support each other. I pray for every girl, the younger, and ladies right to the older, Father, would experience your presence in a new way today. That they would experience all that you have for them. That you have plans and purposes beyond anything they can imagine. I pray, oh God, protection upon their lives. I pray, oh God, encouragement into them, that they can experience your fullness, your promise. That God, they are women of the Most High God. They are your ladies, oh God. Help them to rise up in victory today. That no weapon formed against them will prosper. That you would surround them with songs of deliverance. And I pray, God, for whatever season they're in, that they would experience your fullness in that season. That they would know the God who's able to do exceeding abundant above all that they can ask or even think, according to your power that's at work within them. That you would strengthen them, that you would uphold them today. Your blessing would flow over their lives and out through them and into their families and those around them, God. Use them mightily as an Esther generation, God, that will rise up to do your plans and your purposes. Encourage each lady. Help them to go in victory in your power and in your might today. That they would be all that you desire them to be. Encourage their hearts today, Father. Bring healing where they need it, God. Bring encouragement and bring strength in the seasons of life that they're in. God, may they just know that you are with them. And God, I pray for everyone in this sanctuary today that you would go with them, that you would empower them, that you would strengthen them, Father, to go out to be in the workplace or wherever they are, God, all that they can be for you. We thank you again for your faithfulness. And thank you, God, that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
All right. Stay standing, ladies. Guys, get on your feet and join these ladies. I want everybody to give a shout of praise now to the Lord God Almighty. Come on. Amen. 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 Evan and I love you folks so dearly. We just pray the blessing of God upon each one of you. And go with God's grace and blessing. And every lady in the house, well, supplies last. I don't know how much are left, but we've got these booklets, these devotional booklets we want to bless you with. So God bless you. Happy Mama Day to all the moms. God bless everyone.